Now, Genesis 49 again, verse 10. Now, Jacob was dying here, and he was speaking to his 12 sons. His 12 sons were gathered about his dying bed, and he was addressing them individually. As he said in verse 1, "Gather yourselves together, that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days." He was addressing them individually, but as representatives of the 12 tribes of Israel. In other words, what he was speaking to these boys individually, he was speaking concerning the future people of the 12 tribes. And in verse 10, the dying Jacob, speaking to his son Judah, said, "The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet unto Shiloh comes." Every word that he spoke of Judah, he spoke with regard to our greater Judah, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jacob was looking at Reuben and at Simeon and at Dan and at Benjamin and Joseph and Judah. He was looking at these individual boys. But as he looked at them, he was prophesying by the Holy Spirit what should take place years and years and centuries to come. Now, let's look at his prophecy concerning Judah. Now, as I say, he was looking at Judah, but he was talking about Christ, because Christ came from Judah. Our Lord Jesus was of the family of Jesse, of the tribe of Judah. And he says in verse 8, Judah, as he looked at Judah, he talked about Christ, our greater Judah. Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Did you know that the word Judah means praise? That's exactly what it means. Judah's mother gave him that name out of gratitude to God. When she named him Judah, she named him praise. And if you'll turn with me to Luke chapter 2, you'll find Mary's song of praise at the announcement of the birth of Christ in Luke chapter 2, verse 46. Mary speaking in Luke chapter 1, verse 46. And Mary says, "My soul doth magnify the Lord. My spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent away empty. Judah, thy brethren shall praise thee." And he's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, for he alone is worthy of all praise. And then he says in verse 8, "Judah, thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies." Now, when one gets his hand on the neck of his enemy or his prey, he can stop his breath and he can destroy him. And the writers say that when Israel prophesied of Judah's hand being on the neck of his prey, they're talking about when our Lord met sin and hell and death at the cross and fought toe-to-toe and destroyed them all. "Oh, behold the man of sorrows, behold him in plain view. He's the mighty conqueror over all his enemies, sin and hell, and the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death, when he rent the veil in two. And then Jacob said, Judah, thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Now, to the descendants of Judah, David and Solomon, the people did bow down. But Jacob is not talking about David and Solomon here. He's talking about Christ. Judah, the greater Judah, the Lord Jesus Christ, thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Turn to Philippians chapter 2, verse 9. Philippians 2, 9. God hath also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven, in earth, and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Now, verse 9. Jacob continues his prophecy. Judah, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, for he is the son of Judah. Thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thou shalt defeat all thine enemies. Thou shalt wear the crown. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Now then, Jacob says to Judah, Judah is a lion. From the prey, my son, thou hast gone up. Jacob was looking right at Christ here. From the battle of the cross, from the battle with sin and with Satan and with death and with hell, from the prey, from the victory, thou hast gone up to the right hand of the Heavenly Father. Read on. He stooped down. Was ever such a stoop as this? He who was rich became poor. He who thought it not robbery to be equal with God made himself of no reputation, took upon himself the likeness of sinful flesh, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He stooped down. And as an old lion, who shall rouse him up? That's the question. Charles Spurgeon said, that's the great question. Who dare rouse him up? Who dare stand against him? At the day of his victory, at the day of his conquest, at the day of his return on the throne of judgment, who can stand? Who can stand? But the prophecy of verse 10 is the one that I invite your attention more closely tonight. In verse 10, all of these others are true, and we could dwell on them. Thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Christ alone is the object of eternal praise. Those who gather about the throne in glory, their employment shall be to praise the Lord Jesus. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down and worship thee. Christ is the only monarch who could be elected as the sovereign of his kingdom by a unanimous vote. There wouldn't be one vote against him. Among all the hosts of heaven and the host of redeemed on earth, not one vote against him. Thy brethren shall praise thee and bow down before thee willingly. And thou art a lion's whelp. From the prey, from the battle, from the conquest, thou art gone up, you stooped down, but you're a victor now. And then verse 10, he says, the scepter, the sovereignty shall not depart from Judah. Now, the sovereignty of all Israel remained with the tribe of Judah. From all the way from David to Solomon, even after the tribes were divided, the ten and the two, and then finally most of the tribes completely lost track of, the Israelites, even to this day, are called Jews. Christ Jesus came of the tribe of Judah. The scepter shall not depart from Judah. Identification shall not depart from Judah. The sovereignty shall not depart from Judah. The kingship shall not depart from Judah. The spotlight shall not fall from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh comes. Now, over the head of Christ on the cross of Calvary, Pilate wrote these words: "This is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of Judah, the King of the Jews." Somebody came to him and said, "Don't write up there, he is the King of the Jews." Right? He said he was the King of the Jews. And Pilate said, "What I've written, I've written." And here, way back hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years before that moment, old Jacob sitting on his dying bed, for the Scripture says a little later he raised his feet up and put them in the bed. They covered him up and he died. But sitting there on the side of that bed, and his 12 sons standing around. And he starts with Reuben. He said, "Reuben, this affair you had with my concubine some time ago, you're unstable as water. You're excellent, no, but you're unstable. And Simeon, you and your brother Levi killed a man, and you ought not have done this. And that's a sign of the type of thing that'll go on in your tribes." And then he turned, "Judah..." And everything's quiet. And this old man with the dim, dying eyes could see out beyond this boy standing here and see out beyond his descendants and see out beyond David and Solomon and see out beyond the division of the tribes and see out beyond the scattering of the people. And he could see Christ. And he said, "Judah, the scepter will never depart from you until Shiloh comes." Before the dim eye of Jacob, God brought the mighty King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he said, "Judah, the scepter shall not depart from you until Shiloh comes. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be." Underscore that word Shiloh, if not actually, at least in your mind, Shiloh. This old dying patriarch, this father of Israel, said to his son Judah, "The scepter shall not depart from you till Shiloh comes." Where did he get that name, Shiloh? You know, preachers are not supposed to say, "I don't know." But I don't know. I don't know. I don't know where he got that name. I did a little research and a little concordance work and a little bit of Greek lexicon work. And I don't know where he got it. Unless God gave it to him, I'm sure that's an answer. God gave it to him. It was a name coined by Jacob. It was a name coined by Jacob. "Judah, thy brethren shall praise thee." He's looking at Christ. He's not looking at that boy Judah. "Thy brethren's going to praise thee. You're going to defeat all your enemies. You're going to conquer sin, death, and hell. You're going to stoop down, but you're going to go up from the prey. And nobody will stand before you. And the scepter's not going to depart. Israel's not going to fade away till he comes." Shiloh. Shiloh. You know, a pet name. A lot of you give your wives pet names. You give your husband pet names. You give your children pet names. Somebody said a pet name is often the product of a special love. When you give somebody a pet name, you're saying to them, "You are to me what you are to no one else. You are to me what you are to no one else." They call you whatever they want to, but this is my name. This is my name. God does that. God said, "Jacob, you shall be called Israel." God said, "Saul of Tarsus, thou shalt be called Paul." Christ said, Simon, you shall be called Peter, the little stone. And you know the disciples called the Lord Jesus Master. Master. And Jacob knew what he meant. I know that he did. I know that he knew what he meant. He said, Judah, the scepter shall not depart from you, nor a lawgiver from between your feet till Shiloh comes. Till Shiloh comes. I'm not certain entirely what Jacob meant, but I can give you some of the meanings of the word Shiloh, which have been given by the best writers. These are some of the meanings of the word Shiloh. This is a beautiful prophecy. I like prophecies like this, especially since I read the last chapter. But it's so beautiful. This dying man, inspired by the Holy Ghost, blessing his sons. And he says, Judah, the scepter shall not depart from you till Shiloh. One writer says Shiloh means sent. Sent. S-E-N-T. This is the name, the same as Messiah, the messenger. The messenger. The messenger of the covenant. Christ said, I am come to do the will of him that sent me. Christ is the sent one. God the Father sent him. It was no accident that he came. God the Father sent him. I am come to do the will of him that sent me. As my Father sent me, so send I you. He said, I am sent. I'm the messenger. And I'm sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Christ comes to his people with, the scripture says, healing in his wings. He comes to heal our souls. He comes to heal our homes. He comes to heal our nation. He comes to heal our world. He says, I am the Lord that healeth thee. He healeth all our diseases. There is a balm in Gilead to heal. Christ came to heal. And Christ comes as the messenger of the covenant with terms of peace. Would you have peace with God? Christ comes with those terms. They are repentance and faith. He says, repent and believe the gospel. Come unto me, and I'll give you rest. Christ comes as the messenger of the covenant with terms of peace. Sent. Sent. The scepter shall not depart from Judah until the one whom God shall send comes. And he comes as the substitute for his people. What the terrible law could not do, Christ did. He has accomplished full redemption by the sacrifice of himself. A robe of perfect righteousness is complete by the obedience of the one whom God sent. And then the word Shiloh, according to another author, means until the Son shall come. The scepter shall not depart from Judah until the Son. The Son. Turn to Isaiah 9. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 7. The scepter shall not depart. This is God's promise. This is God's prophecy. It shall not depart till the Son comes. Unto us, Isaiah 9, 6, unto us, a child is born, unto us, a son is given. And the government shall be on his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He's the son of David. He's the son of David. He's the son of Judah. He's the rightful heir to the covenant throne. He is the sovereign of Israel. He's the son of God. He who came to us is divine. No man can undertake the task of redemption. No angel is equal to the task of redemption. All the religions of the world could combine together and not redeem one soul. He who died on that cross is the one who made the world. He who died on that cross was the one who was before all worlds. He who died on that cross is none other than God himself, clothed in human flesh, Who but God? Who but God could snatch a sinner from hell? Who but God could satisfy divine justice? Who but God could please a perfect law? Who but God could remove infinite sin? Who but God? He's the Son of God. Unto us a son is given, the son of Judah, and the son of God, and thank God, the son of man. What does he mean when he says, I am the son of man? He's my kinsman. I am a man, my rich brother, who can pay my debt. My strong Samson, who can drive out the enemy. My perfect Redeemer, who can satisfy the law. He is my strength as a man, my shield, and my sword. And then I like this application here. Another writer says, the word shallow means to whom it belongs. Turn to Ezekiel. You're going to like this scripture here. Ezekiel 21. You're going to rejoice in it. You like all scripture, but you're going to rejoice in this. This made cold chills go up and down my back. Jacob sits here on the side of his deathbed, and God speaks to him and through him, and to these boys through him, and he prophesies what's going to happen. And he says the scepter, the rod of sovereignty, the identification with the kingdom, with the covenants, not going to depart out of the hand of Judah until he comes. Watch it now. To whom it belongs. To whom it belongs. Didn't belong to David. Didn't belong to Solomon. It didn't belong to these others who held it. They held it for somebody else. It says in Ezekiel 21, verse 25, and God seems to have gotten his fill of their idolatry and their wickedness and their iniquity especially. Oh, he says, when men do wrong, it's terrible. But when kings go wrong, and he says, and thou, profane, wicked king of Israel, your day is come. Iniquity shall have an end. Thus saith the Lord God, remove the diadem, take off the crown. This shall not be the same. Exalt him that's low and abase him that's high. I'll overturn it, and it shall be no more. Until he comes, whose right it is. And to whom it belongs, I'll give it to him. I'm tired, God said, I'm tired of your profane wickedness in high places. I'm tired of your compromise. I'm tired of your iniquity. I'm tired of the evil on the throne. Take off the crown, God said. Lay aside the diadem. But don't destroy it. Let it lay there. Till he comes to whom it belongs, and I'm going to give it to him. I'm going to give it to him, the one to whom it belongs. The scepter shall not depart from Judah. Oh, it was tainted, and it was stained, and it was spotted, and it was drugged through the mud, and it was drugged through the mire, and it had a lot of evil about it, but it never was put away till he came to whom it belongs. The crown, the rod, the kingdom, the worship. There's a picture. I never have seen it. I read about it. There's a picture of Nelson, the great seaman, on board a French man of war. And Nelson is receiving the swords from the various captains whom he had conquered. They're all lined up there, and they're presenting their swords to him. And there's an old seaman standing beside him. And as Nelson, you see from the picture, took the swords, he's turned and handed them to that old seaman. That old seaman just stuck them under his arm. And he's standing there with a half a dozen swords stuck under his arm while the great conqueror is there receiving the swords. And there's a smile on his face. He's been with his mighty admiral, his mighty captain, through many mighty battles. And now the victory. And now the day of victory. What a glorious day when Christ shall come and his people shall stand by his side and rejoice as all the swords of rebellion are surrendered to him to whom it belongs. What a triumph. The only King of kings and Lord of lords. What a triumph over his enemies. When every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he's Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The scepter shall not depart until he comes to whom it belongs. To whom it belongs. And then the fourth and final, and I think the meaning that has the most support. The word shallow means peace. It comes from the same root as the word Salem, King of Salem, which signifies peace. That's what it is. The angels came down here to the Judean hillsides and they said, "We bring you good tidings of great joy. Unto you is born on this day in the city of David a Savior, Christ the Lord." But they preceded that announcement with this word. Peace on earth and goodwill toward men. Do you know what peace is? Have you ever said to yourself, do you know what real peace is? Have you ever said to yourself, there's nothing that I desire, there's absolutely nothing that I want, I am totally, perfectly satisfied. I am perfectly content. There is nothing that I fear. There's nothing that I dread. There's nothing that I regret. I don't know anything about that, do you? Nobody else does. I've never reached that state, and nobody ever has in the flesh. But I'm looking forward to it. Because that's exactly what Christ's name is, peace. And that's the kind of peace that he's going to bring to his people someday. That's the kind of peace that we shall know. That's what David was talking about when he said, "I shall be satisfied. I shall be satisfied. There shall be nothing that I desire, nothing that I want, nothing that I fear, nothing that I dread, nothing that I regret. I shall be satisfied when I awake with his likeness." That's who he is. Judah, the scepter shall not depart from you till he comes, who is peace. Who is peace. And he shall bring that peace to the heart, and he shall bring that peace to the mind, and he shall bring that peace to the soul. He shall bring that peace to all who know him and all who love him. And someday, by his grace, when he comes again, he's going to bring that peace to this world. And the ox shall lie down with the lion, and the little child shall put his hand on the hole of the snake, and there shall be perfect peace. Perfect peace. When the King of Peace, when the Prince of Peace, somebody said, I wouldn't change my blessed estate with all that this earth calls good or great, and while my faith can keep her whole, I'm not going to envy the unbeliever's goal. But this last line, and then I'll close. It says here, the scepter shall not depart from Judah until he comes who is the one to whom it belongs. The King of Peace, the Son, and then unto him shall the gathering of the people be. I heard a preacher a few days ago on the radio, and he was talking about the unity of Christendom. He was talking about the unity of Christendom. He was talking about what the world needs is a unity and a gathering together in heart of all Christians. I wanted to say to him, God's people are united. They're united around and in Christ. They're not divided. God's people are not divided. It says, when Shiloh comes, to him shall the gathering of the people be. Now, all religious people aren't united and never will be. And all professed believers aren't united and never will be. And all who call themselves lovers of God are not united and never will be. But those who know Shiloh are united. They are not divided. Their hearts are bound together and beat as one in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. They are complete in Him, and they're one in Him. And He is their King, He is their Redeemer, He is their hope, He is their refuge, He is their life, He is their salvation, He is Alpha and Omega, He's the author and finisher of their faith, He's everything to them. They're already gathered to Him. And there's no division. They found a soldier, an Irish soldier, on the battlefield dead. And Charles Spurgeon said that this poem was found in his pocket. Boys, I got to follow Christ until this old carcass dies. For I dare not face in the land of grace the sorrow of his eyes. It's not the throne, it's not the books, it's him I've got to see. It's him. Just Him that's the Savior of fellows like you and me. And boys, I'd rather frizzle up in the flames of a burning hell than stand condemned and look into His face and hear His voice so well say, depart from me, I know you not. Yeah, God's people are united wherever you find them, on the battlefields of Ireland, if you find them in the heart of Africa, you find them on the streets of New York. You find them in the cathedrals, in the temples, you find them in the churches and chapels, you find them under the bush arbor in the tent, but they're all united. They're all agreed. They're all one. They've gathered to Christ. Shiloh has come, the Prince of Peace, the one to whom it all belongs. All the praise and the worship and the glory, eternally it's His. And they're gathered at His feet. And when God Almighty takes them all to glory, they'll be bound together in that same unity. Intensified and multiplied, but in that same unity. And they all shall want with one voice cry unto Him who loved us and washed us from our sin. In His own blood, unto Him be the glory. Our Father, enthrone Christ in our hearts. It all belongs to Him. He is Shiloh. He is the Prince of Peace. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's the Son. He's the Heir. He's the Sovereign. Enthrone Him in our hearts. Oh God, let every one of us so appreciate and enter into these words of Jacob uttered so many, many years ago. Shiloh has come. The victory has been won. He stooped, He conquered. He ascended to Thy right hand. There He sits until all His enemies be made His footstool. And every knee's going to bow. Let mine bow now. And every tongue's going to confess. Let mine confess now. And every voice is going to give Him the glory. Let mine give Him the glory now. Let me be a subject of His Majesty, King Jesus. that may be a part of his kingdom, that may be one of his subjects. In the name of Christ our Lord, I pray. Amen.